Briefly this morning, very simply, I want to talk about some practical steps that you and I can take to maintain our faithfulness to God. Today is January the 4th. I'm sure we've all already broken our New Year's resolutions. I've heard that really it's February where most of those get broken, but it doesn't take very long to break some of them. But the New Year is a time that we make resolutions. We understand there's some improvements that we can make in our life, and starting off the new year, that's a great time to start off fresh, to start off new, and we want to make those changes, but change is hard. We had a good discussion in our Bible class just this last hour about the discipline that is required to change habits or to change routines, and if we don't stick with that, well, there's not a lot of longevity there. What God is looking for in His people isn't resolutions, isn't one-time big changes. What God is looking for in His people, in you and I, is that steady faithfulness. So I want to talk about that today. We realize that we do need to grow, that we do need to make changes. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 and at verse 18. And so there's nothing wrong with making some resolutions. And it doesn't have to be at the new year. It could be any time we realize, you know what, I need to spend more time in prayer. Then we can make that decision. We can put the changes in our lives to give ourselves more time in prayer. I do need to know my Bible better. I do need to do a better job of being aware of people around me and seeing how I can help and how I can serve others. There's nothing wrong with making resolutions. Do you know we live in a world that conditions us to become accustomed to instant success, where we don't have to put in the hard work. And we see people celebrating success. We don't see all the hard work they did. We just see the celebration. We see the achievement. Hey, we want that as well. And we either forget or we just never were told that that took years of preparation to be able to do that. No, we want it right now. And when we don't get it right now, we get defeated. We get discouraged, and we give up. We notice and we celebrate the big events, and we forget the fact that real life is a routine and a grind towards a goal. What God is looking for is that steady faithfulness. God does act in big ways a lot of times in the Bible, but a lot of times we see God working effectively through the quiet, committed, daily faithfulness of His people. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years in the wilderness of Midian, preparing to do the great work of leading God's people. Joshua was a servant of Moses for 40 years before he took the mantle of leadership. Ezra is another great leader of God's people, but he didn't rise overnight. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says that he purposed in his heart to know the Word of God so that he could live it and he could teach it. He put in a lot of time. He put in a lot of effort. True, lasting spiritual growth takes place slowly. Now, I want to remind you of that. I said we would get to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's open there. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. The Apostle Paul here uses a figure, uses an illustration that he'll use again in Colossians chapter 3. I believe it's very effective. He talks about the change that you and I need to be making as children of God, that when we come from the world, we come from a non-religious background or a false religious background, whatever it is, now we're children of God. We need to make some real changes in our lives. And here's how Paul puts it, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, I can get that, Paul. That's pretty easy to understand. It's like changing clothes. You put off the old, those clothes that have gotten dirty, those clothes that they're worn out, those clothes are not fitting for what it is that I need to be doing now. So I'm going to take off the old, I'm going to put on the new. And as you know, we can understand that, we can get that, but at the same time, it doesn't take very long to change clothes. We can do it pretty quickly. So maybe we expect that these changes that have to take place in our lives spiritually, morally, that those happen quickly. And if that's the conclusion we come to, we've really missed the point that's right here in the middle. Verse 23 said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where the real change happens. Learning new truths, new perspectives, new priorities and habits and goals takes time. We're in a marathon, not in a sprint. So with that in mind, the fact that God is looking for faithfulness, that we do need to make the changes, but that we're in it for the long game. We're running a marathon, not a sprint. I want us to take a look at three things, three very simple things that God has given us that can help us to stay on track and to maintain our faithfulness. Number one, we need to show up. We need to show up. That's the first thing. And the easiest thing that we can do is simply be here right now. We need to make ourselves present at the one thing that God has put in place to strengthen and encourage our continued faithfulness, and that is the assemblies of the local church. We need to be here. You know, those who go to school, they show up for school. Those who work, you show up for work. If we have joined an organization or we have made a commitment to an organization and it's time for one of those functions, we show up. We're there. We show up when we're tired. We show up when we don't feel very good. We show up when we aren't particularly motivated to show up. But we show up. We're there. What about the church? What about the church? Maybe we're tired on Sunday morning. Maybe we don't feel the best. Maybe we aren't particularly motivated to go this Sunday morning. We show up. We show up. That's the very least that we can do. Maybe last week's sermon wasn't very good. We're getting kind of tired of hearing the preacher talk about all the things we need to stop doing. We're hearing too much doctrine. That's just not doing it for me. We show up. Well, the song service just really didn't do it for me last week. I might give some other place a chance. No, we show up. The table talk wasn't what I needed it to be. The scripture, whatever it is, we show up. If I'm going to maintain my faithfulness, I'm going to show up. What do we have in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25? We have some people, some Christians who weren't showing up. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we've looked at this before. Forsaking doesn't mean that we can't get there. If you're in bed and you can't hardly move because you're sick, you're not forsaking. But if you're just not feeling it today and you decide you're going to stay home or go somewhere else, you're forsaking. You're forsaking. They weren't, being stirred to love and good works. They weren't being exhorted. They weren't being edified. Why? Because they weren't showing up. Now, I know we live in a day and age where we can get on our devices and we have instant access to good Bible preaching and teaching. I know that on any given Sunday morning, there are a number of churches that are live streaming their services. And if we can't get out, we can go online, we can find one of those, and we can join in with that service in real time as it's happening. But we're not obeying Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 when we do that. Because there's no way we're stirring others up. We're not there to do it. You have to be there to stir up. You have to be there to encourage. You have to be there to edify others. We can't do that if we don't show up. What's one thing, a very easy thing that I can do so that I equip myself, that I stay in the race and I keep on keeping on? God says, just show up. Just show up. It's that simple. Who will encourage me to be faithful? Those who show up. Am I encouraging others to be faithful? I need to examine that. I need to look at that. But there's something very simple that we can do. We're doing it right now. Just show up. Here's something else. Very simple. Something that we can do to maintain our faithfulness to God. Not anything great, not anything difficult. You need to read up the Scriptures. You need to read your Bible. We need to be involved in reading the Scriptures. And we stress that, especially around the first time of the first part of the year. Let's commit ourselves to being daily Bible readers. Let's try to read the Bible through in a year. Let's spend some time every day in the Word of God. Whatever goal you want to make, whatever practice you want to have with that, do it. Spend some time in God's Word. Let's take a look at some Scriptures, some in the New Testament, some in the Old, of some specific things we need to be doing with God's Word. Number one, we need to be desiring the Word of God. What do you mean by desire the Word of God? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Lay that aside like you're taking off that old garment. Going back to that figure Paul was using, right? You take that off. You lay it aside. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. When a baby gets hungry, you're going to know about it. They're going to fuss until they're fed. Do you and I have that desire? Do we have that hunger and thirst for God's Word? When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, turn these stones into bread. In Matthew 4 and at verse 4, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word of God is our spiritual nourishment. It sustains us as we run that marathon. It sustains us as we strive to serve the Lord. It sustains us as we are trying to remain faithful unto God. We can't do it without our nourishment. We can't do it without the bread. We can't do it without the food. So we need to desire the Word of God. Secondly, we need to continue in the Word of God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, we mentioned earlier today, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And oftentimes when we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's where our attention goes, right down there at the bottom of the chapter. Yes, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable. It thoroughly equips us for every good work. Yes, back up a couple verses. Paul is writing to Timothy. He says to Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy would say, I know the Scriptures. I've been taught the Scriptures. Not only do I know the Scriptures, I know that they're true. I'm convinced that they are true. And Paul says, read them again. Go back to them again. You know what you do after you've read the Bible through? You go back and you read it again. We have to continue in the Word of God. That's what keeps us connected with God and keeps us connected with His will. So, if we want to be faithful, let's keep reading the Word of God. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, as the book of Psalms begins, there is this contrast, which is something that you see often in Hebrew poetry, that contrast, that coupling together of two things that are either complementary or they contrast each other. Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What do we need to do with God's Word? We need to meditate on the Word of God. Maybe we read it in the morning. We set aside that time for Bible reading. And we read it and there's a verse that stands out to us and we think about that. Well, later on in the day, that verse comes back to our mind. And we go back and we think about that. We turn that over in our mind. Wonder what Paul meant there about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. How is that going to work in my life? Maybe we encounter something in our day. You know what? The way I just felt like reacting to that, that's something I need to put off, isn't it? I need to put off that anger and I need to put on patience. And we meditate and we think about that. And at night, as we're laying, as we're welcoming sleep, we think about it. We meditate upon it. That's going to keep us in that long haul. That's going to keep us faithful. And we need to hide it in our hearts. The 119th Psalm is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it's more than just the answer to a trivia question. This psalm is about the Word of God and talks about the blessings of the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. How do I hide God's word in my heart? You memorize Scripture. That's one way. Memorize Scripture. Memorize the Word of God. So you've read some passages and one stands out to you, you repeat it. You memorize that. You write that in your heart so that you can recall it. Remember, we mentioned Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. He's our great example. How did He answer every temptation? He quoted Scripture. I know He has an advantage on us because not only did He write it, He is the living Word, yes. But that's our example to follow. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We've got to use it. We've got to use it as that defense. We've got to use that sword of the Spirit. But it's not there if we haven't internalized it. If we haven't taken the time to desire it, to continue in it, to meditate on it, to write it in our hearts. That takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't go online and enroll in some Bible course offered by some college, send them your credit card number and they send you a certificate and there you go, you've got it. No. It's day in, day out, spending time in God's Word, reading it again, going back over it, writing it in our hearts. Maintaining faithfulness to the Lord requires us to spend time in His Word. So we need to show up, we need to read up, and then finally this morning, we need to refuse to give up. You know, an interesting fact about every Lord's Day in our assemblies, you know, we're going back to our first point, we're commanded to assemble together. We're not to forsake the assembly. One thing that I know, every Sunday morning, there are some things about our assembly that I know. For instance, I know what the sermon's going to be. I don't always know what the songs are going to be. So there are some things that we do know, and there are some things that are unknowns to all of us. Here's one thing that I do know. Every Sunday, sitting in the pews, there are going to be some brethren who are up on the mountaintop and they're going through a great time in their lives. And every Sunday, sitting in the pews, there are going to be some brethren who are going through the valley in their lives. And they're facing perhaps the most difficult thing they'll ever face in their lives every given Sunday. And you know, both pose a challenge to our faithfulness. The book of Deuteronomy addresses it a number of times. Moses is telling people, you're going to go into this land, you're going to live in houses you didn't build, and you're going to have orchards, vineyards, gardens you didn't plant, and you're going to begin to prosper, and you're going to forget about me. But also those who are challenged with the difficulties in life and the struggles in life, they're tempted to give up as well. In the book of James, and this is just one of many such admonitions found in the Bible. Did you ever notice James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man who can avoid hardships in his life? Doesn't say that, does it? Blessed is the person that takes the shortcut around and enjoys quick success. Doesn't say that, does it? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord comes as a result of those who endure temptation. That word endure is an interesting word. It is also rendered perseveres. In another translation says, remains steadfast. It is translated from the Greek word hupomino. If you were here in our 9:30 hour, be impressed with this Greek I'm going to throw at you here. Remember, I don't know much about Greek. But there is this family of words, Greek words, that begin with the prefix hupo. I don't know why my mind can remember this, but that means under. And hupomino literally means you stay under. Not as a punishment, not that you're confined there, but it means you have fortitude. It means you see it through. You undergo, you bear under. W. Vine says it means to bear up courageously. It's the ability to keep on keeping on. It is spiritual staying power. Blessed are those who can do that, because they'll cross the finish line faithful to God. They're not going to give up. I get bulletins from different preachers in different parts of the country. Used to you would get those in the mail. Now you get them on email. I send ours out by email as well. There's one that I get from a preacher in Colorado, and at the end of his bulletin every week, he's got a section called Sentence Sermons, where it's just one line. And there's about six or seven of them there every week in his bulletin. And there was one that really stood out to me yesterday. I've already made a slide and put it on our announcement slides for it. I'll paraphrase it this way, or I'll bring it over to this side of the Mississippi River. I like to word it this way. Faithful Christians need to be like postage stamps. They stick to one thing until they get to their destination. I like that. Are we going to stick with the Lord until we get there, or are we going to peel off and flake away and give up? No, we stick to the Lord. We stick to the Lord. We don't dare give up. The blessings are found. The promises are realized when we finish our journey faithful to the Lord. One of the newer hymns that we have, it's not in either of the hymnals that are in the back of the pew in front of you. It's a song called Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer. And I'm really, really enjoying this song. And I appreciate very much the message of the hymn. I want to read the last verse, the third verse, and then the chorus. Let the treasures of the trial. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Oh, we want to avoid that. We don't want that. The treasures of the trial. All right, let's come back. Let the treasures of the trial form within me as I go. At the end of this long passage, let me leave them at your throne. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith at the end of my heart's testing. With your likeness, let me wake. That blessing is not available to those who give up. That blessing is there at the end of a long, difficult road, a mountain that each of us climb. It's there as a result of our faithfulness. We need to remain faithful to the Lord. It's not difficult. Oh, it's not easy, but it's not difficult to know how it is that we do it. How do we remain faithful? We show up, we read up, and we refuse to give up. That's how we remain faithful. These are practical steps that we can take every day. It's not something big that we decide, oh, okay, we're going to take care of it right now and we just fast forward. We take the big shortcut. No, these are the little steps that we take day in and day out that keep us on track, that keep us connected with God, with each other, and it results in our faithfulness. Let's fast forward, though. Let's fast forward about a year. What will my spiritual life look like on December 31st, 2026 if I start off this year like this? If I show up, if I read up, and I refuse to give up. You know, if you go in and you weigh yourself every day, that's not going to work, is it? Because you're going to get discouraged because some days it's going to go up. But if you wait, you just put in the work every day, those changes take place. They take place and they're seen. So let's avoid the idea of the shortcuts and the easy. Let's commit ourselves to doing these things that the Lord has given us to do. Let's go forward. As individuals, let's go forward as a congregation. Let's be faithful to the Lord. If the sermon today, the study today has pricked your heart, you realize you've not been doing like you should, and you need to make things right, you need to get back on that path, you need to get back in that marathon and run, then repent. Make that change in your life. Do what you need to do. But maybe you're with us today and you're ready to start. You're not in the race yet. You need to become a Christian. Then now would be a perfect time for you to do that. If you understand that you need to believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized, have those sins washed away, everything's ready. The water's ready. We're ready for you. If you're ready to obey the gospel, now would be the perfect time to do that. If you'd like to study with us, study with someone a little bit more about that so that you're certain, you know you're doing what you need to do, we'd love to study with you. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song?